I want to have a short message this evening on the topic and difference between viewing the gospel of Jesus Christ as information versus revelation. So, what is the difference between viewing the gospel of Jesus Christ as information and what is the difference in seeing it as revelation? Vreau să am un scurt mesaj despre diferența între a privi și înțelege Evanghelia lui Iisus Hristos ca informație sau ca revelație. Care este diferența? And it's no secret that we live in the information age. The information age. Truth be told, we probably now have transitioned from the past 3 or 4 decades from the information age into the cryptographic age, meaning that in the information age, all information has been made accessible and available to us. And what that's created is where we feel like there's too much information out there. And now we want to hide it. We want to conceal it. So many people say, who study trends in society and how it moves, are saying that we're now moving into a cryptographic age where we want to hide our phone calls, our emails, our identities on Google and on the internet. But for the sake of this meditation, the information age, let's talk about that for a second. What is good and what is bad about the information age? Well, what's good is that we have accessibility to a lot of information. You have a question about something, you can go and find the answer pretty quickly, right? Go to Google. I need to know something. I need to know how to get somewhere. That information is readily accessible. It's not even on an internet anywhere. It's on your phone. So we can gain access to information quickly. Some of the negative components about the information age are that if you look in the scientific realm, people say we live in the information age, so everything is data and information. In a way, it's given us a God complex because it means that we can figure out with our own mind, using the scientific method, and you know, we can find out that you're just made of chemicals, that's ones and zeros data. We can extract that, we can put it on a piece of paper, we can visibly see it. And it means that we, in a way, can understand the universe in ways like never before. So in the scientific world, it's taken away. People say, we don't have a spirit and a soul anymore because I can quantify and calculate you, your neurological interactions in your brain, what we once identified as a spirit. Well, we can quantify that too under a microscope and in the lab. So it's given us a God complex. It's given scientists a God complex and moved them further away from the spiritual and the supernatural. Another negative aspect about the information age is that there's a term created by a gentleman named Tim Elmore. He's a guy who studies millennials, the development of adolescence, and the development of young people. And he says it's created a crisis among young people. Because what's happened is we now have a term which he calls artificial maturity. Artificial maturity exists because in the olden days, when you wanted to find out some information, you would go through a series of processes to obtain that information. So for example, let's say you wanted to know who the 5th president of the United States was, right? A student, and find out more about this 5th president. Who was he? Who was his family? Back in the day, since we didn't have access to information, that student had to go find a professor. He had to go find somebody who was knowledgeable and ask that professor, sit down in relationship and say, you know what, can you tell me about the president? Who was this guy? I've been thinking about it all night and all day, and I don't know, I can't find information on him. Can you tell me? And so he'd have to sit down in relationship, and they'd communicate, and he'd go through this process which helped form the maturity and form the identity of who they are a lot better. Or they would have to go to the library. They would have to look for a book. They'd have to look through the catalog and search. There was this process that led to the acquisition of information. Today, the child simply goes on Google from their bed. I wonder who the 5th president of the United States is. And they type it in Google, find the information, process it so instantly they forget it because the next thing they go and have another question. So what it's done is it's created artificial maturity in the fact that the processes and the progress that lead us and grow us has been eliminated. And that's probably one of the reasons we have problems with millennials the way that we do. We wonder, why are millennials so distracted, ADHD? They can't sit and read a book. They can't have a normal conversation. So these are real issues. Why? Because of the information age. And I would argue that the information age is a pattern of this world that the church has to completely get rid of. okay, disengage from. So let's talk about the difference between information and revelation. What happens when we view the gospel as information through the pattern of this world? What happens is we view the Bible, we pick up the Bible, we read it, we see it as information. We do a quick Google search, right? A youth wants to find a verse or find a topic. Let's look on love. And I'm going to type in on the Google search, love for God, and all these verses are going to come up. And you might memorize them, you might think about it, you might use it. But it's taken away that sense of deep scholastic study, that sense of deep prayer and studying the Word of God, and we miss the power. We almost become secular in our approach to the gospel because we miss the power of the Holy Spirit because we think we can figure it out on our own because I have access through the Google. So in a way, we're no different than the scientists who come and say all that exists is in the empirical world. You know, there's no spirit, there's no soul. And we view the Bible in such a way until I can acquire all this information I want, and we miss the power of the Holy Spirit. Another aspect, the negative aspect, viewing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it creates artificially mature Christians. Think about it. Kids can find information very quickly. You know, they have a problem, they'll read a 12-step program, a 7-step program that's written by all the, you know, Christian gurus out there. And that information is accessible. It's so accessible, they can go on Twitter, they can go on Facebook, whatever it is, that information is available. And it takes away the deep feeling and connection with human beings, with pastors. Before, you would have to go to your pastor and ask, hey, pastor, I'm having this problem. I wonder how often we still communicate in that way, where kids go and seek out an elder, somebody who's more knowledgeable than them. So that creates a problem, right? So we have artificial Christians, and we've created our approach to a gospel where we eliminate the power of the Holy Spirit because we can think we can cognitively assent and understand the gospel. So what is the difference between gospel and revelation, between information and revelation? Revelation, I would say, is the idea that God can break through space and time and communicate to us. That happens not through information that we acquire, that somebody tells me, but it happens from God. The communication is from God. It's his revelation. And Christy had a message maybe about a month ago or so where he talked about types of revelation. We have revelation in creation where God made himself visible, right? People are without excuse because all of creation testifies. Another aspect is the Word of God is revelation. There's information here, but to really get it, you need revelation, which is the power and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. If we think about how somebody comes to faith, it's by grace, through faith, and the grace is the initiation of the Holy Spirit enlightening and illuminating your mind to what? To revelation and to understand it, okay? And so the Apostle Paul prays, and I'm gonna turn to Ephesians 1:17, where Ephesians is my favorite book of the Bible, and specifically this passage. I spoke to the youth a few times from this passage, if you guys remember. My absolute favorite passage of Scripture, it's a prayer that the Apostle Paul has for the church of Ephesus. And here's what he says. It says in verse 17, it says, "And I pray and I make mention to you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation." Not transfer you a lot of information so that you would know, but there's a spirit that provides, unpacks the truth of the gospel, right? Of who God is. In the knowledge, and where does it come? In the knowledge of him. Why in the knowledge of him? Because when we think about how God spoke in the past and in the present, there's a verse in Hebrews 1, it says, "In days past God spoke through the prophets and in many ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son." So if you want to think about it, if we say God communicates and doesn't communicate through information, through revelation, we have to understand God has a language. You know what that language is? The Son. God speaks through his Son, the fullness of the Son. He is the image of the invisible God. There's an invisible God, but we see it manifest visibly in Jesus Christ. Revelation. That's why the revelation is in the knowledge of him. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." So you will gain lots of information and knowledge? No. "So that you will know him. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the saints? The glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surprising greatness of his power toward us who believe?" This is a very deep and complex, but we'll just stop there in terms of analyzing this text. So Christ, God speaks through his son, Revelation, and the difference between Revelation, how it's not information, is how it's relationship. Because when you connect to God through his son, there is relationship there. And the Holy Spirit unpacks that so that we can know him. Now here's a question you might be thinking, what does Revelation look like? If there was an example or an illustration of what Revelation looks like, here it is, okay? Let the Bible illustrate. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he had a couple of encounters with his apostles, with his disciples. And in one of those, in Luke 24, verses 44, I'm going to read it. And here's an illustration, if you want to know, if I can close my eyes and picture what is the revelation of God applying in my life look like. Listen to this. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Listen to this. Then he opened their mind. Jesus Christ opened their mind. I imagine somebody coming in like a surgeon, prying open the mind. Not just he talked to them. He didn't just have a conversation with them. He opened their mind. Why? So tied into what the Apostle Paul says, "May God grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and may the eyes of your heart be enlightened." So he opens their mind to understand the scriptures, the word, revelation. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise." And notice there's an aspect of the gospel here, that he would suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He goes on later to talk about the power that they're going to be given. Revelation is this. It's a deep spiritually, it's a deep perceptual expansion of our minds to understand God, to make sense of who he is in our lives, the work that he wants to do in our lives. But not only that, it's an indwelling of his truth in us, so that we can live that out as people, as saints, and as a church. My prayer for us is that we would not merely have information in our minds, but that we would have the revelation of God. Rugăciunea mea pentru biserica, pentru noi, ca copii ai Domnului, este ca nu să nu vedem Evanghelia ca informație care este acolo ca să obținem prin minte, dar să înțelegem că este revelația lui Dumnezeu, că El comunică cu noi și își pune în noi Duhul lui Cel Sfânt. Și trebuie revelația asta, the gospel, trebuie lived, trăită. Și mă rog ca El să ne deschide minții ca să-L vedem, ca să trăim pentru El. Amin.